pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Good Monday morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up on the program today, State Representative Jennifer Fidler will be with us. Every other week appearance, they split duty with her colleague Shane Stringer from Mobile County, but it's her turn into rotation, so we certainly look forward to that. Also on the program today, Dale Jackson, WVNN, Yellowhammer News. Our weekly or Monday appearance with him every Monday for some reason. I guess spent some time in Huntsville over the weekend. We can get into that as the show unfolds. Also, coming up on the program, Paul DeMarco will round things out at the 11 o'clock hour. The Tommy Tuberville saga continues. We're still dealing with that drama, but we can talk about that and some other things as well with Paul. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program if you so choose. The text is preferred, so please, by all means, utilize the text line. Let's start here. Well, the weird tropical storm, I guess, when you don't really have that many tropical storms, Californians are bracing for it. One of the jobs I have is Breitbart News. Their headquarters is in Los Angeles, and they are absolutely terrified of this little rainstorm. So I would liken it to this. D.C. 2021, it's more like 2014, 2015. It was an earthquake in Washington, D.C., and no one knew what had happened. It felt like aftershocks. When you're not used to these acts of nature as they are, then they can be a little unsettling, for sure. So the problem is when you're in a major media market like L.A., the second biggest market in the country, then this tropical storm situation they're facing tends to drive the news cycle. So that's kind of, you know, that I expect that to be a big deal. And there's politics with everything, guys, but there's politics in particular with this. Just because of the global warming aspect of it. I always got to talk about global warming or something that it's somehow humans' fault. Humanity's fault, or the United States, probably more accurate to say that. But once we get past that, I think we'll get back into the presidential cycle. When I say presidential cycle, it's not just horse race politics for Democrats. If you're a Democrat out there, you got to be wondering, like, how do you feel about Joe Biden? Here it is. It is August, a year out before the presidential cycle. And your incumbent has a lot of incriminating things. And you know, is there any reason to think this is going to let up and you can just ignore it? That people see, here's where Democrats are, I think, making a bad miscalculation. Right now, they're getting the benefit of the doubt. This is just noise. This is just what Republicans do. No one is paying attention to this. This is just, you know, they do this all the time, those wascally Republicans. Nothing to see here. People are going to start paying more and more attention, though, as we get closer to November. As the November election approaches, and people start paying more attention to politics. And did this? How do you explain this away? How do you explain Hunter Biden? You're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. And the thing is, what's weird about this whole saga, they haven't put it to bed in 4 years almost. Remember, the initial stories dropped during that 2020 election cycle. It is 2023, and this has been hanging over the Biden and the Biden administration for the entirety of his presidency. We have not gotten past this. We've not gotten past the allegations of corruption. They took a shot with this settlement, with this plea deal for Hunter Biden, and they overplayed their hand on that, and the federal judge laughed at it. So here we are. And he got in the special prosecutor. Like I said, the perception right now with the engagement of the public is that this is just a Republican boogeyman, nothing to worry about. This is what Republicans do. It's going to get amplified the closer people start getting engaged. But you can make the same case for Trump. These indictments, this is what Democrats do. This is all Democrats care about. This is how Democrats roll. Nothing to see here. And then the more and more, it's just, who's going to win that in the eyes of people that just all of a sudden start paying attention to politics when the presidential cycle is convenient? So, kind of an interesting thing watching throughout this election cycle, but that's what we always do, right? A few other things. I want to get into this, and you guys can tell me what you think. So gambling is the two things they're going to do next year in the Alabama legislature. I heard it from a source up on high. Ethics and gambling. Ethics, I do not know why they're going to try to touch that. They always get burned on ethics. It never goes the way it's supposed to. The media get involved and they start paying attention, and it looks like these guys in the legislature just try to get a free lunch. But our friend Matt Simpson from the Eastern Shore of Daphne is going to lead the effort on ethics. And once we get into the session, I fully anticipate it'll look just like it did. I guess it was 2021. Senator Albritton tried and Del Marsh. Well, anyway, they're going to give it a shot. It's too vague, too many different legal opinions. If you're going to have an ethics statute, the opinion is it needs to be explicit in what's right and what's wrong. You don't need to leave it to be broadly interpreted. If you allow it to be broadly interpreted, then you have a situation where you could have a rogue prosecutor, Matt Hart, or anybody else that has a political axe to grind to use the ethics laws against any politician. And then it becomes... not that Hubbard didn't get what was coming to him, but it does become Hubbard-esque. It does become witch hunt-esque. And we go from there. So they're going to try that again. We'll see how it goes. The media, the AL.com, and maybe even some of the, maybe some on the right here will cry foul. But that remains to be seen. Also, but the gambling thing is really interesting to me. You've heard my opinion on gambling. I mean, look, aside from the moral component and the impact on society, and, you're going to hear, why can't we have just a straight lottery? That's always, it's never quite that simple. And it's very nuanced, very complicated. So, Andy Witt, from North Alabama, Chris Blackshear from Phoenix City, some other House members are leading the charge here. It looks like to me gambling's going to start in the House, but whatever. Representative Witt, going around to these illegal casinos, we have these speakeasy out in the woods casinos, like it's 1955 Phoenix City or whatever. And he's on a, he's doing research, looking to see what it's like. And his takeaway was, and this is a comment to Alabama Daily News, it's the Wild West out there. So maybe we don't realize, maybe I don't realize, maybe some of you do, how much gambling in Alabama there is. It's just kept on the down low. And what happens in some of these places, some of these counties, especially Democrat counties, law enforcement does not enforce state law. Nor does the DAs, the prosecutors. And when the attorney general has a chance, he goes in and figures it all out. And he handles it, I suppose. But, you know, these things just sort of pop up out of nowhere. They exist. Maybe they're out in the woods or maybe they're in the middle of town. It's like there's a dry cleaner fronting as a illegal casino somewhere. And the local sheriff's department is very aware of it, but they don't do anything. I'm suggesting anything untoward there. But who knows? Who knows how the good old boy network works in some places in the world? And Representative Woods, he's out there and he's seeing that it's more prevalent than we realize. So we got to do something. We got to do something. And that's coming in 2024. And February will be here before you know it. I mean, we're just 10 days away from September. So those of you wanting simple lottery, don't hold your breath on that. But the good news is, or I guess the good news, what's different this time around is you won't have the dog track owners interfering. They've been crippled by, I guess, Green Track owes back taxes, and there's some questionable the interpretation of the law, the victory land. Those have been two obstacles. The other obstacles, just getting the votes. And with gambling, always, you have Republican supermajority. You always have a number of Republicans who are never going to vote for any gaming, even if it were just tiddlywinks. And then on top of that, you have to go over to the Democrat side of the aisle, try to lose some of those votes to get to that three-fifths majority. Big, big threshold. Not just a simple majority to get something like that and to get it on the ballot so you and I can vote for it and have the opportunity to either approve it or reject it. It's a complicated route and a lot of politics involved in making a lot of people happy. So easier said than done. But it is in the works. Ledbetter, the Speaker of the House, and panel of the commission that is doing its homework. And there was a little bit of talk about that, especially since you had a Huntsville lawmaker going around and finding illegal casinos. The question this was, does he have any kind of duty to report these to the local officials and get them shut down? That's something Phil Williams and I talked about the other day. 251-343-0106. Text me. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, roll tide, roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up in just a few minutes, State Representative Jennifer Fiddler joining us here at the Fairhope Bureau. 251-343-0106. 0-6. Text me and let me know what you're thinking. Our buddy Jerry Carl, always good. So y'all remember the Beach Mouse? And it seems like the Beach Mouse has shown up in the news here locally over the years, probably more and more. And Carl, really, I guess, tweaking the AL.commerce here. Always, whenever you get the opportunity to do that, I'm cheering you on here. But calling the Beach Mouse a rat. And people were like, why are we protecting the Beach Mouse? And it was making it really hard. And it had been on the endangered species list since the 80s. And the Beach Mouse being called a rat by Jerry Carl. Good on him. That always draws the ire of some people. Like, okay, well, you guys building your condos down there, you're just visitors here. The Beach Mouse has been here forever. But Representative Carl doing the Lord's work here by tweaking these lefties over what seems to be just a nuisance than endangered species. But hey, the headline here, quote, scare quote, I don't like rats. Colin, Alabama congressman wages war on Beach Mouse. Here's what you need to know about AL.com. And John Sharp's a good guy. I doubt he wrote this headline. But the Alabama congressman, I mean, you know, your AL.com, what other congressman are you writing about? You wouldn't say Jerry Carl. No one knows who Jerry Carl is. This is what you need to know about AL.com. They write stories that aren't for people in Alabama. They write stories to highlight Alabama in a way that is derogatory or antithetical to conservative orthodoxy. Anyway, I saw that I needed to give him a shout out. 251-343-0106 to be in touch. David sends a picture of Hillary makes landfall, destroyed over 30,000 emails. That is a Babylon Bee headline. And then, have you heard about the new movement of blue-collar workers? This is from Roger. Change their federal tax withholdings to exempt and not pay any taxes until they file in next year. Significant loss of revenue. Send a message being fed up to the Richmond north of Richmond. The new Boston Tea Party probably will get you landed in jail there, Roger. You can't mess around with the IRS. You can't. You gotta protest the government. You gotta push back against the government. You can't just do it. You're violating the law by doing that, by just putting exempt and not paying any taxes. Well, I don't know. I guess you could put it off a year, but did it come with a penalty? I think that's ill-advised. I think we have a government and we have a democracy. And if people get fed up with the way things are, they get fed up with the status quo, you vote them out. You don't go crash the Capitol on January 6th. You don't do any of that. I think that's not the way to do it. I think that creates more turmoil, more problems for you in the future. Doesn't have meta. You can mess around with the IRS if there are enough of you. They can and won't put everyone in jail. Don't think you could build a movement that big, especially with the way they use the tax code in America. All right, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Curtis Lowe was the finest picker to ever play the blues.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program? Please utilize the text line real quick before we get to our next guest. Sobrino Tony says, definitely do not mess with the IRS. They cannot shoot straight. Unless you're Hunter Biden, and then maybe you could get a pass from the internal. Well, or the U.S. Attorney's Office will run interference. And then Pete writes, stealing an election didn't stir turmoil. Well, the thing about that, Pete, and I get where you come from, but I mean, it was COVID and they had to bend every rule possible. I just don't think you can do that every election cycle. But, a fair point. I guess I'll concede that to you. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get to our next guest joining us now on the line. Always a pleasure to bring on, State Representative Jennifer Fidler. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Jeff?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We always appreciate it. We haven't talked in a couple of weeks. What have you been up to?
Well, we went to the Business Council of Alabama about 2 weeks ago. Representative Gibbons' mother passed away, so we've been mourning her death. I have been in the office. I have been relaxing. I took a day off. One of the things I'd like to do when I take a day off is actually have a project. So I did a project Friday. Gearing up to go out of town this week for the Joint State Parks Committee. The Ag Committee is actually invited to go to those. So we're going to visit the Rocket Center in Huntsville. You just told me you came back from Huntsville.
Yeah, I was up there taking care of a 1819 business while I was up there and trying to. I did get to a couple of meetings and see some of the folks up there. So it is. I was in Huntsville. I don't know if you know, for a year and a half, and I got up there, and it's been since 2020 that I was on the air there. But driving around, it has grown. It really is a place in the state. And it's probably that way in Baldwin County, but you're just here and it's like watching it. So it's evolving, but like you go from like what your expectations were to one place and you go up a couple of years later and you see that and it's a little surprising, but man, it's really changing up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're growing fast, just like we are. During the week of the business, council meeting, we also had the farmers that did a statewide tour throughout the state, and they capitalized or highlighted our area this year. So there were a lot of farm tours going on a couple weeks ago, and got to meet with them and tour the McKenzie Market down in the Barnwell area just south of Fairhope. If y'all hadn't been down there, they have a lot of great locally sourced food and fruits and vegetables and that sort of thing. They're on the left, just going outside of Fairhope.
Well, let's talk about this. Good plug there. I was talking to the leader, and there's a lot going on as we head into 2023. I mean, here 2024. Here it is. It's August, almost September, and it may seem like forever away, but February, the next session, a little earlier than usual. Sounds like gambling and ethics is what I'm hearing. And the gambling thing, though, you have done your homework on this. You've spoken to the Porch Creeks. I'm assuming you've heard from other people, particularly probably in your district. What do you think that's even going to look like? Do you have any notion?
I did attend Education 101 on gambling, and there was a lot of take home things that I think that the normal, most of us just don't realize. And that's that there are a lot of people trying to gamble, and they're probably, they're doing it. And when they get on these sites, these internet sites, they're really, you know, it's not regulated, so there's no one making sure that someone's not getting ripped off or taken advantage of when you're going onto these sites. So that was one thing I understood. And then another is that it's allowed within a constitutional amendment in some of these counties. So we do have it in the state of Alabama more so than we maybe realize. And that a lot of people do want lotto, but there's a lot of folks don't want the casino type, table type gambling. But whenever we consider lotto, we have to look at the compact that we have. And when you open that up, that would generate, you know, the probability of going into a broader classification of gambling. And so that's the reserve, I think, that people maybe not realize whenever we talk about lotto. It's just not simple lotto. It's we're opening up that compact.
Right.
And it gets into that third, that class three gaming.
Well, that's the struggle. So if you, and this may or may not be accurate, but it is the perception that if you go ahead and you green light a lottery, you got to change the Alabama Constitution. And there's a lot of people around the state, for whatever reason, think you green light gambling. What does it do with the existing casinos, especially on federal land and our Indian land governed by the federal government? Does that proliferate? Does that allow them to have class three gaming, games of chance versus games of skill, which is what it is right now? And then, you know, the other problem is, with all those fears out there, it's not just a simple majority vote, right? You got to get 3/5 majority to get a constitutional amendment. And that threshold, that higher vote total you got to get with all these concerns, makes it very difficult to get through the Alabama legislature.
Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of hard no's in there. So, you know, if you've asked some of my constituents, my colleagues, not constituents, my colleagues in the House, I mean, I think you'd find a lot of hard no's. And, you know, that just shows the conservatism, you know, they're just more conservative. They haven't gone to some of them haven't gone to the 101, education 101. They just don't want to hear it at all. And I think some of my constituents have also said, too, they consider lotto, they just don't want to see the paper. You know, that paper is just, you know, everywhere. Those little lotto scorecards,
right,
and,
right,
you know, they lay around. And then, you know, I don't gamble. So, but we actually picked up a few cards on the way through Florida the other day. And, I don't even, you know, couldn't figure out how it worked. We got to look at the numbers, you know, at the end of the night, and then, you know, which internet site do you go to figure out these numbers? And at the end of the day, you know, when is that going to, you know, they're just all this paper laying around. Maybe people wouldn't be too against it if it was just on the internet, you know, and it just, the state regulated it through.
The thing I always hear, though, Representative, and there are people that just want it because they want the ability and they just want to be able to gamble, but it's going to raise so much money for the state of Alabama. And I'm very skeptical of that.
Well, yeah. And a portion of it needs to be for the issues that gambling brings up, like the addiction. That was another thing that came out of the little 101 class I went to, that there is a problem and that we, as a state, we'll have to address that.
It does have an impact on society.
There's an addictive portion of that, and we are going to need to address it along with, you know, gambling. So those are some of the downsides that, you know, I had an employee that was addicted. He would drive over there to Biloxi and spend all his money on, you know, on the games of chance. And he's a garbage truck driver for, you know, and he was on a limited income. You know, we needed to get him through some counseling because he was losing everything. And that's where, you know, we could be. You know, some folks have that addictive personality.
Well, and I hear this all the time when it is going to have an impact on society, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. and government may or may not have a responsibility there. But that you always hear, well, people, if they want to gamble, they're going to figure out a way to do it. But it doesn't need to be necessarily condoned by the state, by the government, right? And that's where the rub lies.
Well, I can agree with you that statement has merit. And I just don't think a lot of folks want it in their face. You know, they just don't want it in front of them. And I think it brings along a lot of things that some folks just don't want around. You know, it just brings in a lot of things with it.
We get the ghost of the past with the Phoenix City story. And, you know, I guess that was the reason why Alabama was so late, headed into the late 90s. But then it got beat when Siegelman tried it in 99. And, you know, from that point forward, the people in this state were very hesitant to revisit that because you had your chance. And Siegelman kind of blew it in 1999, losing in a special election situation. And now it's been more than two decades, but all these other states around us did it right. And the rules have changed. It's much more difficult to get something like that done in Alabama now.
Well, if we considered it, it would need to be a comprehensive plan. I think that was one thing that did come out again through that little educational series I went through. We had the treasurer speaking to us, and the governor gave, she put together a task force to look at gaming several years ago. And there was a lot of things that came out of that our treasurer Boozer went over. You know, the amount of money, you know, that it would generate is a definite, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars that would be generated through it.
You believe it has to be comprehensive, though?
Do. Yeah, it did. That seminar did convince me, and probably listening to these other states that came in and did it piecemeal, because when you do it piecemeal, you just need a comprehensive plan. This is how we're going to handle bingo. This is how we're going to handle horse races. This is what we're going to do about dog races.
Sports gambling.
This is the sports betting, which I know people who sports bet. I'm not a big gambler, so you know people who bet on sports. That's illegal in our state. Could there be a way we do that on the internet where the state regulates it and we gain some percentage that the consumer knows that it's a safe way to not lose half their money, but, you know, at least 10% of that's going to an admin fee. But we looked at a map, or they showed us a map, where you could see the pings, actually people trying to get on the internet to do some sports gaming all throughout the state of Alabama. So it's happening mostly on the interstate, people traveling. So that's where the activity, a lot of it was. In our area, there was a lot of it. So it's going on. Should we regulate it? Yes, I do think it should be comprehensive if we, you know, consider something.
So, and Speaker Ledbetter, he has his task force, some of your colleagues. I saw some reporting about Andy Witt going to these speakeasy-type casinos, and they're out there. You know, I know there's some out there, but I guess it's more widespread than we thought. He called it like the Wild Wild West. You just have these casinos or gambling venues, and for whatever reason, the local law enforcement just turns a blind eye to them.
Well, constitutional amendments in those counties, you know, of course, I guess that it depends on what's illegal, but yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff going on that, maybe people think that there's bigger things to worry about than that, and maybe law enforcement's not looking at that. But I guess that all comes down to your local, you know, our DAs and our sheriffs, and just how important they feel like it is in their county.
I tell you what, though, you see it. I don't know if you're keeping up with the medical marijuana stuff and that, and the picking of winners and losers, and it feels like to me that what you got to be on guard for is creating another situation where you're trying to reinvent the wheel, and you guys, the legislature, do your job. You get it done next year. it gets on the ballot, it gets passed in 24, and then we don't have any gambling until 2027 or something, that, you know, it just takes that long to implement the system.
Well, just talking about medical marijuana, I actually visited a facility that we have here in Foley in Baldwin County. Just a little bit about it. I was amazed at we went through, we saw where the hemp was collected in large bags. They sourced it out with the farm that it came from, and it's legal to grow. The farmers, as long as they had a license, it was legal to grow here in the state for the last several years, and as long as you didn't have more than a 0.03% THC. So that's by volume. And so once they harvested, it comes in. But once they pull and extract all the cannabinoids and all the different, I can't remember the name of it, but the extract all the whatever, the good
THC,
stuff. You can pull the THC out. You can pull these things out that make they put them back in products that either like in gummies or in something that relaxes you, helps you sleep, you know, but the processing of it all. They have the processor. They're doing all this, and then they're producing it and putting it back in gummies. And, you know, medically, you know, the doctors can prescribe it now because it's legal. What I'm concerned about is these things that we're actually seeing on the streets because are in the convenience stores like Delta 8 or Delta 10, because that's just a derivative that's coming off of what they're pulling out. And I'm not saying, you know, the group there in Foley, but I'm just saying other folks, they pulled this out and that's not regulated. So it's very concerning because you may eat one of those and you have zero effects, and then you may eat the other half and you can't walk or drive. There's no regulation on it, and it's something that we really need to look at. I'm very concerned about it. The regulation of the medical marijuana, I have followed it some. I haven't seen the latest readings on it. I do believe that we've got to have our local folks here in the state of Alabama. They need to have first dibs on any of the businesses and being able to pursue the medical marijuana production.
Let's get a quick break in here. We'll pick it up on the other side. 251-343-0106. Want to be in touch with the program? Text me. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
It's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Just a couple more minutes with State Representative Jennifer Fidler here, our Monday, every other Monday regular, but we're glad to have her. Representative, I guess any day now we'll be finding out what the new congressional lines are going to be like. That saga has to be trying, I guess, in some aspects, but are you keeping up with the federal courts?
And I haven't read that lately, you know, so I'm not sure what's going on. You probably know more about it than I do.
Well, we're just in that wait and see a phase of it. What will they do? And the special master. I mean, I think what people are really afraid of, especially in our part of the state, is a Dothan to the Dolphin Island congressional district that we're sharing an all south congressional district with the Wiregrass, or at least part of the Wiregrass, and the other part of Wiregrass will be in the new quote unquote opportunity district.
I was totally for keeping Mobile and Baldwin together and intact. I kind of thought we had more in common with like either Monroe or Washington than Covington, but we've taken on Covington and let go of Monroe and Washington. I have lived 8.5 years in Barber County, and those areas are more in common with the that Wiregrass region, Dothan, Houston County, all that, than they will ever be with us. They're in the heritage, the culture, the people, you know, what they're growing
economy,
over there.
Yeah.
just all about is so much different than they have a much closer connection to actually Montgomery than we do. We are just a little bit, we need to be together. And the whole idea, you know, when that cutout section in the middle of Mobile, I can't even understand that. That can't wrap my head around that. Didn't make any sense to me.
Well, we'll have to watch and see. But probably by the next time you're on, we'll have some finality. Representative, thank you for coming by. We'll do it again soon. Right.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. That was State Representative Jennifer Fiddler. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Text me on the text line. Need to be in touch with the program. Still to come on the program in about a half hour from now. Well, from Dale Jackson, WVNN, Yellowhammer News, our Monday regular. So that's coming up. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Paul DeMarco, another regular on this show. So please stay tuned for that. During that last segment before last with Representative Fiddler, we're talking about redistricting and what to expect with the U.S. First off, it is being discussed at the district court level. Three-judge panel will likely issue some kind of ruling here in the next few days, and then you'll have what is known as the special master, who is a cartographer involved. All this is already, it seems to be kind of preordained. And the legal strategy here from the Alabama AG, from Steve Marshall, I think is that they're going to get some kind of relief from the U.S. Supreme Court. That is, and Sam Gavan and others have said the same. The reason I bring up Senator Sam Gavan is he said it publicly. He thinks it goes 5-4 for Alabama. That essentially this last decision was 4-4-1, even though it was technically a 5-4 decision for the plaintiffs. It's going to go the other way, and Kavanaugh is going to flip. That's been the strategy here all along, and the left is just beside itself. They don't like this. And the only reason I'm bringing this up now, the highly esteemed Brian Lyman has made that his column today, and says that he expects everyone to embarrass themselves. I will say I think it's risky. It's very risky what the legislature has done. In addition to that, I know that our own Chris Pringle's getting beat up on here by some in the media, in the conservative media, for what he did on the stand in the hearing a couple of weeks ago, and not really making it sound like they were on some kind of unified approach to redistricting. But in his defense, I mean, he did give it a shot. But we might have, if they had gone with his plan, be sitting here in the same place today as we were a couple of weeks ago, as we were before all this, with his or with the plan that they passed, what was known as the Livingston plan, that it was not going to go the state's way no matter what they did, unless they just gave Bobby Singleton or any of the other plaintiffs the maps that they want. So I wanted to bring that up just because it's coming and it's going to hit us like a big bombshell. And I think whatever happens in this is and when it's all said and done, it's going to change the state for forever. I mean, it is because when they changed the congressional maps for that 1990 cycle, and then here it is. This is what we've been using for the last 30 years. You have an election every 2 years. suddenly you throw two potential for two competitive congressional districts in the mix, and it just changed the state's political landscape altogether. I mean, you have people that, you know, maybe Republicans or Democrats in certain districts thinking they can be a member of Congress. You suddenly have outside money, more outside money flowing into state politics, which has always been something very taboo for Alabama. I mean, we don't like it when you see all those Club for Growth ads. We don't like it when you see all of that. But it piles up, and it really will have an impact on what we do, what we talk about on this show in particular. And maybe that's not a big deal in everybody's day-to-day life. But I think it really will change political calculus and the way people think about their political futures, who runs for office, and just the amount of money. You're going to introduce a new amount of money if you have even just one purple district where it's competitive between Republicans and Democrats. You start getting that outside money, and I'm telling you, that's where things change. But the left in the state, for some reason, they're griping. If they had the hand that they think they have, the linemen and Chris England and all these guys think they have such a good hand, why are they complaining about it? Those of you that are on the left that keep up with this, every nuance of what the legislature did and how the federal court will react, if this is indeed the case, aren't you cheering this on? It's always fascinating to me. Let's go to the text. Bone Saw. Governor Ivey is just like anyone's grandma. You hear about her four times a year, and she's very excited about the very basic things that she's doing and spends her time talking about these things she has accomplished in her past. The only difference is my grandmother actually cares about the state. But, hey, we voted her in. I hope people start taking notice and being proactive instead of complaining about roads and gambling. That being said, the charges against me for drinking nacho cheese from the nacho cheese dispenser at Circle K have been dropped due to my community service, finding homeless men under the underpass. The analogy of Governor Ivey and anyone's grandma. But that's just what got her elected, Bonesaw. Hey, it's Meemaw. She is seen four times a year and rarely heard from. We haven't done that in Alabama, have we? It's just not something we typically, you know, governors are larger-than-life personalities, especially Southern governors. They're up to their crazy hijinks or whatever. And she's been low-key. And I don't think, if you'd known Kay Ivey prior to even lieutenant governor, she was not a low-key personality. She was somebody that was out front doing things. Out and about. But she's taking kind of a low-key approach. I'll tell you something else that, the road discussion in Alabama, it is still what's going to happen. I was talking to one state senator while I was in Huntsville. And no one likes John Cooper. And he essentially said, 6-lane, we ought to 8-lane 65 and fire Cooper. So I don't think this is just an isolated thing with the lieutenant governor and our buddy Senator Elliott and a few others. I do get the sense that there are a lot of people who want to see that Interstate 65 in the Alabama legislature be a priority. The only problem is, guys, like I said, I don't think you can operate as a state agency and be so directly opposed, so antithetical to what the rank and file of the legislature would like to see. Maybe you get away with it if you're the governor, but if you're just like an agency, Department of Corrections, ALDOT, or whatever, and you have a supermajority vote working against you, it doesn't end well for you. But it just takes time. Backstrap writes. He just writes a lot here. I need to scroll up. What is she talking about? She has zero clue about gambling, and it's evident she doesn't like gambling because there's paper lying around. Every time I heard someone like that in charge of our policies, I'm reminded why Alabama's last. The ticket literally tells you where to go check your numbers. The state wants to juice that hair right. She wants the state to be the bookie. And medical marijuana has nothing to do with CBD products. Well, number one on the gambling, coming from Florida, yeah, you do see these scratch-offs sort of lying around on the ground. I don't know that that's a big concern, but if you're worried about, I don't think it's a good look. I think that's a fair critique. The state's going to be the bookie wherever you go. The state's going to get their cut. That's what the state does. That is why they're going to allow gambling. The state's going to get its cut, and they're going to get its cut however they see fit. Backstrap, how much do you want that? And if I had a CBD stuff, if you can't get CBD right, why would you think the state is going to get medical marijuana right? I think that's a fair point, because they passed this law like, what was it, 2016 or 17, whatever they made CBD legal. CBD was supposed to stop seizures. Do you remember? Remember, it was going to stop seizures, and kids were going to be able to live a normal life because we have CBD oil. But what it's turned out is it's something you see at every gas station between here and Huntsville. It's just, I don't think this is what was intended with it, that they would be, the CBD convenience store. There are, I am sure, benefits from CBD oil. No question about it. I can just imagine that there are benefits and it does good, but it's not regulated. It's not regulated, and no one really knows. Like, where you go buy a product down at the Quickie Stop, where is it from? How to make it? I think that is what she was speaking about. Now, with medical marijuana, that's like the other extreme. They're reinventing the wheel. This is what gambling will look like, guys. You get all these chefs in the kitchen together, and they're trying to make a recipe. That's what gambling is going to look like. Buck, this representative speaks like a typical politician, wants to regulate everything through the size of government, and probably calls herself a Republican. I think stuff like that is not typically. First of all, there's so many unknowns. I mean, you got to regulate CBD oil. You also got to regulate medical marijuana. These things, if not used as intended, can be vices. It's just like gambling or anything else. Sad troll. So much for Republicans being the party of freedom and personal responsibility. Republicans are now a big group of Karens and Kens acting like they know what's best for everyone, yet the state is dead last in everything. Sad troll, why don't we just legalize heroin? We just have hypodermic needles lying around. Because of the personal responsibility. Don't confuse conservatism and libertarianism. Conservatives want to preserve. They want to keep the status quo. And unconstrained libertarianism leads to anarchy. I think there is just understanding the ideologies. Screechy Karen, where have you been? The governor is old. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that insight. Governor Ivy is old. Screechy Karen, you add so much to this show. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Mona, try the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.
Hey, I was country.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show. Up from Talk 106.5. Essential Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Coming up here in just a few minutes, Dale Jackson, WVNN. I was in Huntsville over the weekend. Did not get to go see Dale, but maybe next time. Running a state website will take you all over the state of Alabama. But I tell you what, I was talking to Representative Fiddler about that. You go up there. I was on the air for an hour, about a year and a half up there. That's where I started radio and have since wound up here. But it really, you hear about how much things are growing and it looks different. I mean, they're just putting buildings on top of buildings and things all over the state. I mean, all over Madison County and in Limestone County. Something tells me, though, they got to be careful. They don't want to be in a glut, a bubble situation where they overbuild. And then especially with some of the Space Command problems, not have tenants. But, man, is it grown up fast up there. Dan, I agree. The governor is definitely old. Well, thank you for that, Dan. Name texter, doctors kill, just Ricky, doctors kill more than any other drugs, period, Jeff. Ricky, where does this distrust of medical institutions come from? You know, if I'm sick, if I'm deathly ill, I'm going to the doctor. Maybe I just haven't had the bad experience yet. Maybe that's what awaits me, is some kind of bad experience. If I have that bad experience, then I will have a distrust, a healthy distrust of the medical community. I'm not there yet. I just, the problem with healthcare in America right now, at least from my perspective, it's hard to even get an appointment. And it's never at a convenient time. Well, not that there ever is convenience. But healthcare, yes, is accessible and affordable. It's just, it is a hassle. Name texture, Jennifer Fiddler's dagger, some of the biggest hemp fields in Baldwin County, so she has to know about CBD business. She also passed a peanut bill. Funny, that's what Fiddler Farm grows. I don't know what to make of that. I know she passed that peanut bill, but it was also with Josh Carley from the Wiregrass. I'd say this about that. If they're going to pass a peanut bill in the Alabama legislature, I would want the peanut experts leading the charge. What I think happened there was the Farmers Federation, Alpha, got behind it. And that got a freshman senator and a freshman representative their bill through. But like you said, if we're going to peanuts, the peanut legislation, let's let the peanut people handle it. If we're going to have a doctor bill, let's let doctors handle it, I suppose. Sean, Ricky is right. Ricky is right, though. Doctors kill people more than drugs. More than any other drugs. But doctors handle a lot of sick people. Well, I mean, and Sean, I'm not going to concede this to Ricky. I don't like the paranoia. I think it's way beyond skepticism, but paranoia about medicine. If you listen to guys like Ricky, none of us would have ever taken the COVID vaccine. none of us would have ever. If you listen to Ricky, we'd all be dead because of COVID, the COVID vaccine. Do you believe that? I'm not, like you said, I'm not there. I'm not there with the paranoia. Maybe someday I will be, but I'm not there with the medicine and paranoia. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Sinners and believers learned that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers. I've come to know.
Hello, darling. Nice to see you.
It's been a long time. You're just as lovely as you used to be.
How's your new love? Are you happy?
Hope you're.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Essential Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, we do this every Monday. Very pleased to be joined by the one and only Dell Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. Dell, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Couldn't be better. Great night's sleep. Everything was awesome. Ready to go. Rip roaring. Yeah.
Well, you got a good night's sleep. I got that out of the way. Did you have a good weekend? I heard it was you and the little one.
Yeah, me and Granny spent the weekend together. It was his mother's birthday weekend. She went and spent some time with some of her friends, and me and him went and had some fun. We did trampoline parks. We did two pool birthday parties. We did Dave and Buster's. We did it all. We were going to go to a wrestling show, but we couldn't get out there. I mean, we did a whole bunch of different fun stuff, so it was a lot of fun.
Well, I missed you up there. You didn't make it to the Madison County Men's Republican Club, unfortunately.
Sorry, am I 95 years old all of a sudden?
It wasn't on the agenda, was it?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I didn't want to bring Grant there because God knows what he's carrying that might take half those people out.
Well, he's been to it before, though.
Yeah, he has.
I have photographic.
I don't think he would be as well behaved as he was at that event.
I have photographic.
Way a little alert.
Photographic evidence of this occurrence. I mean, well, some of those days when you were you're decked out in your like Florida Gator gear, and there's Grant.
He's ready to go. We were having a discussion today about Florida Gators. There's an episode of Bluey where the parents. One of their friends' parents are rooting against each other's football team, and we were talking about that and how Grant and I are Gators, and my lovely wife is an Auburn fan. So poor her.
Is she? Where do you think that allegiance will lie?
Oh no, he's a Gator. There's no question about
really?
It.
Really? All right.
He knows better. He knows better. I'm gonna try to take him to a game this year.
Because we're gonna try to take Benjamin to a game this year, and I wonder if he's too young for it.
Well, I mean, you guys are what, a 3-hour drive away from there?
Yeah.
So that's not much. In order for me to get him down to the swamp, it's gonna be a whole trip. So it's a whole other thing. But I told him we were going to a wrestling show, and he's like, "Oh, are we getting on a plane and going?" I'm like, "Man, this guy, he's hardcore." He's like, "You're not taking me to Hazel Green. You take me out to like Chicago or something. Let's go." I was like, "Calm down."
He's going to follow in your footsteps, no doubt about that, for sure.
So he's going to be a professional athlete, I guess.
Oh yeah, professional athlete. What's your professional wrestling record now?
I mean, I'm undefeated in matches. I'm 3-0. I've lost a couple of Royal Rumbles and stuff like that, but. In matches where I can get the pin and stuff, I'm 3-0.
That's good. That's great. Well, I guess every dad has his forte, and you will. I'm sure he'll excel in whatever direction.
I mean, is politics that different than pro wrestling?
I don't know. It depends on what realm of politics. We all get along in Alabama these days, and in D.C. though, you need to get out the brass knuckles
and bring out the white chairs. Right, swing them around.
That's just if you decide you want to go in your pontoon boat and go up and down the Alabama River, then you need to have some kind of a chair contingency plan.
Oh my god. I love this idea. I'm just start carrying white chairs everywhere I go, just so people know what's up.
Or just what's the guy in the gymnasium that climbs up and then he jumps and he misses?
Oh god, I saw that video. There's like some local indie fed, which by the way, the worst part about that is this guy's like wrestling in front of like seven people, and he decides to climb up on a trussing there and jump off of that onto a guy, and he misses completely and right onto the concrete floor. Just, these guys are nuts, man. The local wrestlers are crazy. They absolutely are, doing all this work for very little money, and all this hard damage to their body for very little money. But they love it, man. They absolutely love it, and they're in it 100%.
Story by Del Jackson. We managed to kill like 7 minutes here talking about nothing.
Just hit the dump button and let's start again.
the Donald Trump going to Georgia to turn himself in. Is this where they get him? I'm so tired of the, okay, we start out at with a helicopter over Mar-a-Lago or Bedminster, and then we follow the motorcade to the airport, and we watch the airplane take off, then we watch it land, and then we watch the motorcade go to the courthouse, and then we watch it go back to the airport and fly back, and you know the drill by now.
Yeah. I mean, if you're asking, is this when they get a mugshot? The answer is probably yes. But I think it's pretty telling that the media and their Democrats are absolutely giddy about the idea that Donald Trump is walking into a dirty, dangerous prison run by Democrats. It's pretty sure. Like, they think that, like, I think if he got shanked, like, they would be thrilled. I mean, the way they talk about this is so very odd, very odd.
I you know, and like you said, the giddiness and the smirking, and it's the problem is for these guys, and this is what gets me, Dale, is every time something like this happens, he not only climbs in the Republican primary, but in his head-to-heads against Joe Biden, he continues to gain strength whenever one of these things happen.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But he's got a bigger lead. I wrote this in the Seven Things today. He's got a bigger lead than he's ever had. I mean, he's down a few points on his own, but DeSantis has taken a much bigger fall in exchange for Ramaswamy for some reason. And I heard somebody call him Obama Swamy, which I think is pretty funny. I mean, not because I necessarily believe it, but I just think it's kind of a funny nickname. But the idea here is that it helps Trump grow amongst Republicans. And he's right. He's absolutely right. I mean, they're absolutely right. Look at what goes on here. You have a poll that has Trump supporters being asked. And it's a trap question. It really is. It's like, hey, we're going to make you look stupid with this question, okay? And the Trump supporters go, uh-huh. And they say, hey, who do you trust more? Donald Trump, your religious leaders, your family? I think the other one might have been like the media or something, which is obvious, right? Like, who do you trust more than Trump? Or who do you trust? And Trump got the most amount. I mean, it's just crazy. Like, they trust Trump more than they trust their family and their religious leaders and things like this. It's just an insane thing to ask, and it's even a more insane thing to respond with that. Yeah, I trust Trump more than anyone else. Friends and family, conservative media figures, or religious leaders. And it's like, guys, come on, you know. And I had someone respond to me and be like, well, nobody should trust the government. They should trust Trump over that. I'm like, that's not the question. The question is, who do you believe is telling you the truth? Trump, friends and family member, conservative media figures, or religious leaders? And Trump is crushing these guys in that. And it's just, forget it. There is a worshiping of this guy that makes it so there's nothing he can do wrong. And sorry, this is not rooting for a sports team, you know.
It feels that way, right? At times it feels just like a blind faith. And I'm not...
Right.
Like, how does this... How do we get here? And I don't know how widespread it is, but I do... I mean, like, I talk to, like, relatives and friends, and it is just... I kind of wonder this, Dale, if it's not necessarily Trump and all his flaws and all his problems, but that he's symbolic of something that is more of the blind faith, right?
Well, let me look at it like this. You know, if Auburn got caught paying players in like McDonald's bags, right? And then Tennessee got caught paying players in McDonald's bags, the reactions would be based on what your fandom was in those situations. And there will always be some that are like, no, this is wrong, and that is what it is. But there are also those who, okay, who did this? Oh, that was our guy? Okay, it's fine. Who did this? Oh, it's the other guy? screw them. They should die.
Or it's this. You're right. You're right on, because it's this. Like, whenever, you know, Auburn gets in trouble for or any allegations, and we live through the Cam Newton and Eric Ramsey and, I don't know, well, Alabama does it too, you know. And instead of saying Alabama does it with Trump, well, look at Hunter Biden, look at Hillary Clinton, and you know, it's like a moral equivalency thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, it kind of cracks me up. Like, if you go back, and I remember this when Cam Newton got busted in Florida, you know, there were people all over the SEC. Oh, here we go again, blah 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 blah. And they're like, hey, can we get him? You know, can we get that guy? Can we get him when he comes out of the community college? And then Auburn goes and gets him, and Florida fans are like, oh, the bag man. Oh, here we go. They got him.
And well, this is like, Mississippi State and Alabama. They're still looking for that 2010 bag man, I think.
Josh Moon will get him, I'm sure. Your buddy. I forgot. The Alabama Political Report.
No, he was, he's plugged into the Auburn world. But I guess he's got a trustee that likes him or something, but he's a... his Alabama politics stuff is, but his Auburn reporting is pretty solid.
Okay, if you say so. It seems like he's wrong on that too. I was kind of making a joke because how stupid it is. But all right, if you say so.
But typically, well, we won't get into that. So the way that goes, but I do think you're right about. Well, tell me this: how offended should I be if I'm a Trump supporter to be called a listless vessel?
I look at that comment and I go, yeah. I think there's an argument there to be made that that's true. And I feel like if you're mad about that, they're kind of talking to you, or they're at least talking about you, you know? And I feel like if you're squealing about that, you're the stuck pig. I mean, they're talking to you. If Donald Trump is controlling the conversation via his Truth Social account, which he absolutely is, and we all know that, and you're not rolling your eyes at it, they're talking about you. And that's okay. You can believe those things. You can want to defend Donald Trump at every turn. And that's a completely reasonable thing to do. And I think you laid it out, I think, pretty well about how he is a guy who has been put upon. He is a guy who has been persecuted and now prosecuted. He is a victim. And we love victims. And we want to protect the victims that we agree with on certain matters. All of that is the reality. And simple, to me at least, it seems that these guys are going with the guy that they feel like they need to defend because he's been wronged a bunch of times. And they're right. He's been wronged a bunch of times. And I don't see any problem with that at all. But I mean, when Donald Trump says stuff like randomly, like, I'm going to release all the data about all this voter fraud. And then he's like, never mind. We're going to put it in the documents, and we know it's never coming. We know that. But then they go from, yeah, he's going to release it. It's finally time. They're going to start taking him down. Hillary Clinton handcuffs are coming. And then they're like, oh, we'll find out when they put it in that document. It's the smart legal strategy by Donald Trump. Or when he doesn't pay his lawyers and Rudy Giuliani is sitting there with spray tan and spray on hair and sweating away and getting ready to go to jail. And then they think that that's completely fine because Giuliani didn't do a good job. What are we doing?
Yeah, the loyalty, like, and these guys going to Trump, I mean, for legal fees and needing help for all the 2020 stuff. And he's just kind of telling them, sorry, have a nice day.
And he's raising money. People are donating money to, like, essentially his legal defense fund. What are we doing? Like, the guy is a billionaire. Should you really be paying for his legal affairs? No. It doesn't make any sense. It's just absolutely nuts. But again, that's just how I feel. But here they go. And that's all it's going to be. This is it. And let me just be clear to you. Ron DeSantis is not going to win by being Trump friendly. He's got to either go through him and lose or go through him and win. Because there is no way to get there by just being like, I like this guy. You can't do that. You have to fight him or you're going to lose anyway. And that's what's happening right now.
Well, do you still think there's a chance that he could win the nomination, DeSantis?
No. I mean, unless Donald Trump, like, goes away for some reason, you got Bill Cassidy and Mo Brooks now saying, hey, it's time for him to step down. Well, that's neat and all, but no, I mean, no, that's it. That's the end of my commentary. Well, it's never going to happen that way. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You just wonder, like, what is the point of even saying that? Like, coming out and making that argument? Because, good Lord, I can tell you right now, Bill Cassidy, what is his scandal? What is Bill Cassidy's scandal?
What? Did he vote for impeachment? What?
I mean, did he vote for impeachment? Okay, so he did that. That's one. He voted to impeach. But, I mean, there's just whatever other scandals he's had in his life, get ready, because you're going to hear about him from Donald Trump. He's going to lay him out there, and he's now going to lay him bare. And now Mo Brooks also came out and said something about it, and he's going to get hammered too. There is just absolutely no positive way to go after Donald Trump and not get absolutely murdered for it by the Republican base. The Republican base wants Donald Trump, and they're going to get him. I mean, that's basically what it looks like.
Real quick.
Is where they get him, as in getting Donald Trump.
Real quick, before we have to go, what's going on with Mo these days? I see him a lot on social media. I actually saw him at the Algop. He's still involved with that. But what do you make of his online behavior?
I mean, this is what it's always been. Exactly what he thinks. I mean, I think that's it. I mean, I've not seen a change in his positions or any of this stuff.
Well, I don't know what I would have done in his shoes, but you know, he was like riding high with Donald Trump, and now he's got a million reasons not to like Donald Trump. I understand. It's just time to kind of, you know, we've seen better days and go away, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It literally does not help Mo Brooks in any way, shape, or form to say the things he's talking about.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it just doesn't help him. It doesn't do anything for him personally or politically. It does nothing for him. But I don't think he cares. I just don't think he cares. I think he's just saying what it is. And you know, Brooks made it pretty clear, you know, the overturning of the election was only going to happen, and maybe not overturning is the wrong word, but the challenging of the election was only going to happen that day on January 6th. And all the other stuff that happened that day ruined any chance of that. That's it. That's what's happened. And he made that clear. He said it that day. He said it on the 7th. He said that the people who crashed the Capitol screwed the whole thing up, because they lost whatever support they were able to muster with the questions that they were raising. There was no, we're going to overturn this election or any of this stuff. It was going to have to be fought out and slugged out at that particular moment. So he's been pretty clear about it. And as of right now, the media just wants him to be the voice of the opposition in a lot of ways, because they like to say, well, even Mo Brooks says this and this and that, and all these other things are going on. So I think that's what that's about.
Dale, folks want to check you out. They want to shoot you a Google. How can they do so?
Anywhere you want to find me, at the Dale Jackson on any social media platform, shoot me a Google just by searching Dale Jackson, and you will run into something I'm doing. Come fight with me on social media.
Hey, we're back to that again. Dale Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I've done a whole lot of searching.
Cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step in back.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the Ascension Technologies text line. Need to be in touch with the program. Utilize the text line. Let's get through some text here. By the way, coming up in the next hour, Paul DeMarco. So one more hour to go on this Monday morning. We always appreciate you listening. Derek, vaccine will kill more than the virus did. I doubt that. We'll see. I mean, I'm not going to say it won't, but I don't know. Michael, it would have been better to listen to Ricky if that meant nobody took the Pfizer jab. You know, a lot of vaccine skeptics still. Otto, Jeff, please tell Ricky to go see his drug dealer next time he needs medical help. Yeah, well, I mean, what does a guy like Ricky do if he needs medical attention and a unhealthy distrust of medicine in America? Would he go down to the local witch doctor or something, Ricky? What do you do? You have some mushroom tea? What happens if you have appendicitis? Buck. Bit is annoying. Wait, hold on. I need to go back here. Jeff, you keep using the word vices, but people can be addicted to anything good or bad. I know people that in every conversation church has come up, it's a bit annoying as any other addiction. When I say vices, though, I'm not, I really am referring to vices. I'm not referring to addiction. I'm not referring to your addiction to Cocoa Pebbles there, Buck Allen. I am not. There is a specific definition here. I think gambling is a vice. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
It ain't so hard to say, would you please just go away?
Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
No. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. Utilize the text line. Text me and let me know what you're thinking. Coming up in about 30 minutes from now, Paul DeMarco, we'll hear from him. We'll talk, he has a column out, and it was distributed by the Tuberville folks, but what do we think of Tommy Tuberville? And I'll set the table as such, and now if you've been listening to the program, you probably heard it once or twice. Is it Huntsville? Friday and Saturday, and it's grown. And everywhere you look, there's new construction, mostly residential. They're building up. They're getting ready for something big. They're preparing for something big, like in the sense that they want, they're going to get Toyota Mazda or Space Command or whatever it may be. And now Space Command no longer coming there. Now my instincts, you see a lot of for sale, for leasing. Did they overbuild? And were they trying to get ahead of Space Command? But sort of overbuilt for that situation. And now they may not get it. There are a group of people up there who want to, they literally want to blame Tommy Tuberville. For us in Mobile, I mean, we're not going to feel anything for Space Command. It's just good for the state as a whole. It adds to its resume. It adds to the state's GDP. And perhaps it helps with tax revenue. So there's some tangential benefits. But there's some people looking for someone to blame, and they're going after Coach. And that's something we're going to talk about with Paul in about 30 minutes. What do you do? Katie Britt with some comments saying that she doesn't think it's over. But maybe they can stop it or stall it or keep it from going to Colorado. I'm not sure I would count on it coming to Alabama. We are going to get Congressman Dale Strong on. I finally got that in the works. Maybe later this week. What do you do? The Biden administration, I think, was looking for an excuse. Tuberville is just a convenient scapegoat, a convenient excuse for this administration, and that's what they're doing. Personally, here's what I tell you. Protecting the life of the unborn, a much more important priority, a higher priority than Space Command. You don't compromise your beliefs, your principles. You don't compromise any of that for the sake of some economic development or whatever, especially from the federal government. We learned this from COVID. We learned what Joe Biden could try to do in the way he could justify it if he so chooses. And this was getting all you people that did not want to get the COVID-19 vaccine that we are still talking about to this day. Well, if you worked at Austell and you didn't have proof to show that you had the vaccine, they were going to lay you off. And why were they going to do that? Because the Biden administration said if we take any federal money, then your employees have to be vaccinated. And it seemed unconstitutional. It got tied up in the courts. And eventually they dropped it, but a lot of these companies don't want to deal with the headache. They just want to get their checks coming in. They want to get the checks rolling in. They got a business to run. They don't have the cash reserves to burn through while they wait for litigation. They're companies. They got assets and liabilities, right? Now, I think you could have taken them to court and said, hey, this wasn't the term of the contract or whatever. But litigation is expensive and timely. It costs a lot of time, a lot of these companies. So when you get beholden to the federal government, they're aware of this, and they like to do things to make your life to make your life the way they want you to live. That's always been the problem with all of this. So potentially, you could have a federal government dictating the terms of Huntsville. Here's where it could matter, because we've seen this in the past. We saw this with LBJ and Brookley Field, right? Because they didn't go. They went for Goldwater. Alabama went for Goldwater. When LBJ was right, was that 68? No, it was way before that. It was early 60s. Because they didn't go with LBJ, the state didn't. He punished them, took away Brookley, and you saw what it did to the city of Mobile's economy for the next several decades. Well, let's play this out for Huntsville and Space Command and, you know, potentially an FBI headquarters and Redstone Arsenal and NASA, et cetera. If you have a president that's like, hey, you guys up here in Madison County, North Alabama, better go Democrat or we'll take it away from you. And that's a sizable population dictated by the federal government about their politics. It's going to impact the entire state. But that's the way these guys play historically. You know, we like to be naive about it. Oh, that would never happen here. But it does happen. So we'll talk about that. So 64, that's what I meant. I was off by 4 years. But if you do that in North Alabama, I mean, I don't know. Would they say, hey, you straddle the fence, and that's the way I think the electorate in North Alabama is kind of headed right now with all the federal contracting, either being a federal town, they could go Republican or Democrat, but it looks like a Democrat's going to win. We better vote for the Democrat. Oh, we're going to lose our federal largesse. It's going to hit the economy. We don't be looking for jobs. Hey, I want to buy that new bass boat or whatever. That stuff impacts the economy when you become very reliant on the federal government. So it comes with a price. let's not be simplistic about it. Let's not pretend that things just happened about based on merit. There are lots of other calculations involved. And that's what the threat is to Huntsville, I think. Let's get some of these texts out of the way. I always appreciate the text, 251-343-0106. Fire Dog writes, tells us some of the Trump supporters aren't just screwing with the pollsters. Someone called me and asked if I trusted Trump more than anyone. I would say yes, just to mess with the guy. Dell Jackson, our last guest, saying, you know, where he thinks that some people put Donald Trump ahead of their deity, ahead of their religion, ahead of whatever. Sad troll. Be honest. Space Command isn't coming due to draconian restrictions you all put out. Even Habits has said the cost of it isn't what they thought it would be, just deserved. I don't know what draconian restrictions, unless you're referring to the abortion ban. And as I said, protecting the rights of the unborn is far more important to me, I think, to a lot of people in the state, than Space Command. Hey, you want to stop abortion or do you want Space Command? I think most people will go stop abortion. Business community may be different. It'll be like, oh, well, that ship has sailed. Tuberville's doing the right thing. I'm not sure he should have been the one to fall on the sword, though. But it doesn't seem to be hurting him. I think he is the most popular, untouchable Republican right now. If he had asked me 6 months ago, I might have said Will Ainsworth. Yeah, I think he's past Ainsworth. I think a lot of the Republicans in at the state level are untouchable. All right, let's go down the list. If you did the power rankings, you'd have to go Tuberville, Ainsworth, Katie Britt, Steve Marshall's up there, Ivy somewhere in between, but she's not in danger of anything. I mean, she's not running for re-election for anything. And then everybody else, it's just kind of academic. Ricky, no Amish caught COVID or took the kill shots, and no one is a problem when you follow our God-given common sense. Yeah, but Ricky, I know people who died from COVID. I know a lot of people who died from COVID complications. I'm not saying that there aren't dangers associated with the vaccine. And I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert on this. But I'll take my chances with the vaccine and not getting COVID. I like that you referenced the Amish. That's adorable. Let's see what else we got here. Patrick writes, Josh Moon is an idiot. I listened to him with Bill Brittle Sunday mornings for comic relief. For our entire discussion about Josh Moon. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Josh Moon. I think he's a good writer. He's just wrong about a lot of things. He's right about some things. I think some of it's an act. If you know him on social media. I have far more respect for Josh Moon than I do like a Whitmire or Archibald. That he's at least willing to say there is some merit to the other side, at least when he used to come on this show. Now I think they're mad at me. But I read a Josh Moon column and yeah, I'm like not angry. I don't get angry about the stuff anymore, but I'm much more, or it feels like it's more thoughtful. I don't feel like I'm being just trolled for the sake of being trolled, like AL.com, like a Roy Johnson column telling me not today, white people, talking about the Montgomery brawl or whatever. Gene, please ask Tuberville next time if an Auburn athlete had 91 indictments, would he be able to play for coach? But Well, it depends on how good he was, I bet, Gene. Let's not kid ourselves. Do we think those 91 indictments, how many, Gene, if you're a betting person, I don't know if you are or not. But, Gene, if you think, how many of those 91 indictments wind up being convictions? Be it through court or through some kind of plea agreement. Here's what Trump doesn't get the benefit of. It is much more cost effective for the federal government to settle these cases, to do some kind of plea deal. The federal government, in this case, is not interested. The DOJ not interested in any kind of plea agreement, I think. I think they just want a scalp. An over-politicized Department of Justice is what is going on there. All right, let's get a break in here. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Why can't you see what you do with me when you don't believe a word I...
Stayed up late again watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Barry Moore, congressman from the 2nd Congressional District, scheduled to join us, and a couple other guests to be named later. We'll figure that out. As always, twitter.com/Jeff_Poor. Stop at 8 o'clock hour tomorrow. I'll try to post the guest list there, and then if you are familiar with the Jeff Poor Show Facebook page, it's out there. Just search for the Jeff Poor Show and like it, and in your feed will be at some point during the day the show list, among other things associated with this program. It must be the day you guys that are like hate listening to this program must, y'all must have had a meeting over the weekend, because we have, I heard from Gene, Screechy Karen, and Sad Troll back to back to back here. It's is it just like a Monday thing? I don't know, but they are active participants today. So welcome to the fray. Appreciate that. Sad Troll, still waiting on you to match my bet on Trump. I'll make it easier for you. No, I'm not betting you on Trump. What? I don't even know who you are. Screechy Karen, you have to admit our senator is not smart. Why do you think that? First off, you can't be a dummy to win a U.S. Senate election. I mean, it's just there's lots at stake there. It is cost prohibitive for someone who is really dumb to win a U.S. Senate seat. Somebody will be some smart people. Jeff Sessions, you probably don't like Jeff Sessions or Bradley Byrd either, Screechy Carey. And the legacy, Doug Jones. He defeated Doug Jones, the biggest Democrat since Sue Bell Cobb or little Jim Folsom, right? To win statewide. It was 2006. So it's not easy to be a U.S. senator. In Alabama, you can't, because you just don't agree with any of them. Screechy Karen. I think our U.S. Senator is a lot smarter than you give him credit for. It wouldn't be in the U.S. Senate. Yeah, what do you think? He's just fluked his way into it? No, I Screechy Karen, Sad Troll, and Gene all back to back to back. Like you said, they must have had a meeting. And said, hey, we need to text more to the Jeff Poor Show. Fire Dog, the hate listeners, get their seminar call or mailer over the weekend. Gives them the DNMSNBC talking points. Is that true? Like, there's like a sleeper cell of left-wingers, and they are said, hey, you need to call into conservative talk radio and start getting the ball moving against Tommy Tuberville. Because there is a... We're not happy with him holding with these military holds on appointments We want action on this. Does that really happen? I just fail to believe that. I fail to believe that they're that organized. Screechy says, bless his heart. Oh, come on, Screechy Karen. You can be an idiot and a senator. John Fetterman is a prime example. But, I don't. He's got some other mental deficiencies. I don't think smarts. I guess you could say Mazie Hirono is not exactly the smartest. Look, it's sharp elbows to get in U.S. Senate. People want to be a U.S. senator. You win one term, maybe you could be lucky. Tuberville's the most, I think, the most bulletproof Republican in Alabama right now. If he ran for governor, he's governor. Does he want to do that? No. Look, the guy's been accused of living in Florida, and y'all can't lay a glove on him on the left. TDS, is Tuberville derangement or Trump derangement? Israel. I don't like the guy, but people suffer from TDS get mad at me for liking anything he did. A dirt digger, I will vote for Senator Tuberville if he chooses to run again. He stands on his morals and keeps his word. All right, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Good night, angel. Sleep tight, darling. And close your pretty brown eyes.